Now, with Pastor Peter away, that means I'll be teaching the next two Wednesday nights. So I've decided to take advantage of this opportunity that I will have some continuity, which is not always the case on Wednesday nights. And I've decided to share with you two sermons on prayer. And we could spend an awful lot of time discussing prayer. There could be sermon after sermon on prayer, and this would be very profitable. And perhaps in the future it will form the basis of an entire series. But for these two sermons, I wish to draw our attention to some pitfalls that prevent powerful prayer. It is my desire that we as a church are powerful prayers. It's my desire personally that I am a powerful prayer. And I'm sure you share this desire also. But there are many practices and habits that we as believers develop that dramatically hinder the power and effectiveness of our prayers. I wish to address some of these hindering habits firstly tonight in a sermon that I have entitled Pitfalls in the Presenting of Prayers, and the second sermon next week, Pitfalls in the Provision of Our Prayers. And it is my desire that through these two lessons that we corporately and as individuals pray more effectively, pray more powerfully. Now, our predominant text for this evening is going to be the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. What better passage to ponder in considering prayer? So let's read our text for this evening. Matthew chapter 6, we'll commence reading at verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for ye Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can come and gather in this simple way this evening. Oh, Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer. Thank you that we can come before you in prayer. And Lord, I do pray that you help me tonight as I teach what you have taught me about prayer. I do pray that the Holy Spirit illuminates your word to us this evening. Please help us to be able to apply the lessons from your word to our prayer lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. When was the last time you paused and considered the true wonder of prayer? Really think about it. How amazing it truly is that we, as sinful, fallen humanity, can have access to the Almighty Creator God. That we, at any time, in any place, can talk to God. And the fact that our prayers will be heard and he will respond to our prayers. Really let that sink in. Think about that. Meditate upon that. For I fear often we fail to grasp the true glorious nature of prayer and the wonderful privilege it is that we can come before God. How often and how easily prayer can just become a duty, a chore, a tick-the-box exercise. how easily and how quickly prayer can be neglected completely. But even more so, how easy it is to neglect the quality of our prayers. To consider how we should pray in light of what the Scriptures teach. It is very easy to learn bad habits and develop crippling practices within our praying. I wonder how often our prayers corporately and our prayers as individuals are not as effective as they could be or lack in the power that they could potentially possess. Although I realize it is God who answers prayer, and we do possess the Holy Spirit to help us when we don't know what to say, praise God. But nevertheless, there are things clearly spelled out in the Word of God that will hinder the effectiveness and power of our praying. And unfortunately, these pitfalls are very prevalent. And it is imperative that we learn to avoid the pitfalls that prevent powerful praying. And this evening I wish to consider very quickly six pitfalls in the presenting of prayer, or praying, sorry. This could form six separate sermons, but I've decided to do this quickly to give us a general overview. The first pitfall in effective prayer is a lack of constancy. A lack of constancy. Now, we will start with the most obvious, and this really goes without saying. In order to pray powerfully and effectively, we must pray. Now, I apologize for the obvious nature of that remark, but it's often the obvious that is the most difficult to implement, isn't it? The verb pray in verse 9 is in the present tense, this meaning that it is a continuing action. It's also in the imperative mood, which makes it a command. We as believers are commanded to not be spasmodic or sporadic in our prayer lives, but to be consistent and constant. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray without ceasing. We as believers are commanded to live in a continual state of prayer. We are to have set times in our lives when we pray, but it is to be more than that. We are to live in a continual communication with God. There is to be a constant flowing conversation, an unbroken walk of communion, no matter the circumstances. Whether sunshine or rain, feast or famine, we are to be in constant communion with God. You know, obviously we cannot pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is not what is expected, but it is commanded for you and I to pray regularly. Practically speaking, this means we don't just pray for our meals and when we go to bed. It doesn't mean that we just pray at church on Wednesday nights, but it means we take every possible opportunity throughout the day to speak with God. Of course, this doesn't mean we need to pray out loud or shut our eyes, bow our heads or be on our knees, for these are all customs of prayer, not prayer itself. But it does mean that if we want to pray powerfully, we must pray constantly. And unfortunately, how often this is lacking. How often there is great inconsistency in our prayer lives. They are spasmodic and as a result, lack power. How often when you and I are busy, prayer is the first thing to be neglected, is it not? You know, consider your day today. How much did you pray? When you left your home this morning, did you pray? When you're faced with that temptation, did you pray? When you sinned today, did you pray? Before you came out tonight, did you pray? Could your life be described as a life of prayer? If we wish to pray effectively and powerfully, we must pray constantly. We must always be in touch with God, no matter the circumstances. We must pray without ceasing. The second pitfall is lots of casuality. When we pray, it is imperative that we remember who we are praying to and hence act accordingly. How often a great sense of irreverence is present within our prayers. How often we are blasé, we are careless, at times approaching utter disrespect in how we pray. The prayer before us begins, "Our Father." And when we are communicating, we are communicating with God the Father, the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient Creator God. This is who, through Jesus Christ, we are interacting with. And this, beloved, is truly amazing, isn't it? That we can commune with God. But since this is who we are praying to, this should dictate how we pray. It should control what we say and how we say it. How often we become extremely casual in our prayers, paying little attention to what we say, allowing ourselves to wander and get distracted so easily. And we quickly forget who we are praying to and the response that this demands. If we were to meet someone famous, say if we were invited to share a meal with the Queen at Buckingham Palace, we would dress, act, behave and speak in a certain way in light of her presence, wouldn't we? There would be certain conversations we would not speak of because of who she is. Well, how much greater should this principle apply to our prayer lives? We are coming before the King of Kings, our Creator, our Redeemer. Hence, we should come in a state of reverence. Notice the reaction within the Lord's Prayer. When he came before his Father, says, "Hallowed be thy name," meaning glory to thy name, all reverence and honor to you. This is the heart attitude that we must possess in prayer. We need to come in a state of humble reverence, understanding what we are actually doing. We must never allow irreverence, disrespect, and the dishonor of this world towards God to be present within our own prayer lives. Now, beloved, we must stamp this out. Get rid of it. A reverence has no place in our prayer lives. I wonder how often our prayers lack power because we lack reverence. We fail to remember who we are praying to and allow that to dictate what we pray for, who we pray for, when we pray, and how we pray. You know, may we follow the example before us. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May there be no casuality or irreverence within our prayers. The third pitfall is a lack of change. How easy it is within our prayer lives to fall into a rut, particularly the deep and dangerous rut of vain repetition. Jesus warns of this very thing in verse 7. Read with me if you would, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." The phrase "vain repetition" used here speaks both of the words used and the time spent in prayer. What Jesus Christ is alluding to here is the pagan custom of the day. They would pray at a set time for a certain length of time, praying the same things, thinking they would inform their gods of their needs and twist the arms of their gods to meet their needs. Now remember the story of the prophets of Baal in the time of Elijah. The fire would not come down. You know, Elijah, being the cheeky man that he was, tells them, pray louder, pray longer. So they did. They prayed more intensely for a longer period of time. Yet Baal didn't answer their prayer. This is the idea in the text. Now what Jesus is addressing in this statement is two things that he wanted to make sure his disciples didn't mimic from the pagan prayers. And it's these two things that you and I must be oh so careful to avoid. For this will rob our prayers of effectiveness and power. The idea of vain repetition was firstly linked to time in prayer. The quality of prayer is not measured in time. No, length doesn't make powerful praying. Now, although nothing is wrong with long praying, it is not the length of the prayer that should be the focus. You know, it's foolish to strive to impress God with the length of our praying. I'm sure we can all testify to a time in our lives when we have heard someone pray and it has gone on and on and on without them saying a great deal. Now, this is not powerful, effective biblical prayer. It's this that Christ forbids. Powerful praying doesn't have to be long praying. The quality is not measured in the length. The second thing that Christ forbids within this phrase, vain repetition, is the obvious sense that we get with our English phraseology. That being the saying of the same thing over and over again. Praying powerfully is not parrot praying. It's not saying the same thing over and over. Praying the exact same prayer day in, day out. This is not what prayer is meant to be. Now don't get me wrong, repetition can be used in prayer. Jesus Christ used it in Matthew 26:44 in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed it three times. But this should not characterize the way that we pray. The problem with praying the same prayer word for word or close to it is that it's very easy for our prayers to come just words, no hearts, and we're not thinking about it. That is the danger of repetition. It's oh so easy to fall in the habit of following a routine prayer and forgetting what we are really doing and desiring to achieve. Beloved, we must avoid repetitious praying. We must not become this mechanical robot who has set prayers programmed that we repeat depending on the situation or location. Now, how easy it is here on Wednesday nights or at home in your own private prayer life just to work through your list word for word, saying the same thing every time like this well-oiled machine. But this is not powerful prayer. This is repetitious prayer, and this type of prayer can very quickly turn into empty, mechanical, heartless prayer. Now let me share with you a personal testimony. When I was a child, I prayed every night when I went to bed. This was a habit that I taught myself from about 6 years old. Now this was a good habit, but for years I prayed for the same thing. Exactly, word for word. My memory was good back then. I had this prayer memorized. Now I would pray for the day, thank you for safety, thank you for mum and dad, thank you for the missionaries, word for word. And it wasn't until I was a teenager that I realized this was not proper, powerful praying. But often it was empty, heartless prayer, just me repeating what I had memorized. That is not powerful praying. Now, if we wish to pray effectively and powerfully, we must avoid vain repetition. We must change it up. Now, rote repetition is really an insult to our intelligence and the character of God. The fourth pitfall is a limited conception. Now, how would you define prayer? What do you think the chief purpose of prayer is? What should be included within prayer? Now, the answer to these questions will shape how you pray. And often we as believers lack effectiveness and power in prayer because our perception of prayer is too narrow, too limited, or it's very lopsided. Now, how we view prayer will shape how and what we pray, determining the effectiveness and power of the particular prayer. What I want to draw our focus to within this point is the fact that prayer has at least four different elements or four different aspects. And often we tend to be extremely lopsided towards one of these aspects. And it's this lopsidedness that often restricts our praying. There is a well-done acronym. It's not original with me. I'm not that intelligent, unfortunately. But it's on your outline sheet. It's the ACTS acronym. And it reveals the four aspects of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And let's very quickly consider them. Now, firstly, adoration. Now, this means putting into words the gratitude that ought to swell up in our hearts when we consider who God is. Now, when we pray, we should praise God, give thanks to God for who He is. And this should not be that difficult. If we know anything about theology, anything about the attributes of God, we should be able to do this. And this, my friend, is a vital part of prayer. And I would put forward that this should be the way that we commence our praying. Just like the example before us. Hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should contain adoration towards our great God. We should proclaim His greatness, pour out our hearts in admiration to who our God is. Prayer should also include confession. Now, confession speaks of dealing with the sin in our lives. To say the same thing as God does about our sin and seeking His forgiveness. Once again, this aspect is spelled out before us in the Lord's Prayer. It says, forgive us our debts. Now, beloved, we must confess our sin in our praying. Because if we do not do this, then God will not hear our prayers. We will consider this next week. Now, we worship the thrice holy God. We cannot come into His presence without confessing our sin. The third aspect of prayer is thanksgiving. Now, this meaning we are to give thanks for everything God has done for us. And once again, this should not be difficult, should it? Think of everything that God has done for us physically. We have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on the table. We have money in the bank. These are all wonderful blessings. Think of the spiritual blessings that we have. Now, we are redeemed. We are not going to hell where we deserve to go. We are going to heaven. We can have a relationship with God now, and so on. Now, think of the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, and name them one by one. This describes this aspect of thanksgiving. Now, the fourth concept of prayer, and the one we default towards, is supplication. A supplication is making our needs known unto God, whether that be for ourselves or for others. Once again, this is seen in the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us our daily bread. This is the idea of supplication. And these, my friends, are the four aspects that need to be present in biblical effective prayer. And often our prayers are lacking because of imbalances. Now often praying can be quickly filled with supplication and not much else. This is a very common trap. We can become shopping list prayers, going through our list of wants. And this is a very real danger. A prayer is so much more than simply asking for stuff, asking for things from God, whether it be for ourselves or for others. You know, it's more than asking God to do things, yet how often this describes our prayer lives. You know, we come to God with our wish list, our prayer list, and often this list is very noble. It's spiritual requests that should be made, but it's not to be the only thing that we pray about. You know, prayer is more than simply making requests known to God. This is certainly an aspect of prayer. We should include this in our prayer, but it's not to be the only aspect. I wonder how often our prayers are imbalanced. We lack severely in one, two, or three of the above aspects of prayer. Now, may we make the conscious effort to have well-balanced prayers consisting of all of the above four aspects. The fifth pitfall is a limited concern in prayer. Now, when we pray, what is our motivation? Why do we ask for what we ask for? Now, how often our concern in prayer is selfish. It is self-centered. And if this is our attitude in prayer, it's a sure way to restrict the effectiveness and power of the prayers we offer. So what is to be our concern? What is to be the motivating factor of our praying? Verse 10 says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The concern of prayer is the will of God. It needs to be the desire of our hearts that in all of our prayers, God's will is accomplished. Even if that means our prayers are not answered like we want them to be answered. You know, allow me to illustrate. Jesus Christ, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." Now, Jesus did not want to go through the ordeal of the crucifixion. He asked his Father for a way out, but his prayer was not answered the way Jesus requested. Nevertheless, he submitted to the will of the Father. And that is the key to powerful praying. You think I'd be used to alliteration by now, wouldn't you? We must be willing to pray in accordance to the will of God. Now, even if that means we don't receive the answer that we desire, we must understand that God's way is always the best way. He knows best. And even if we don't understand why he has answered in the way that he has or that he hasn't answered, we must trust him and be willing to accept his will, pray in accordance to his will. But how often we are more concerned about ourselves. Now, we pray for our plans, our desires. We pray for Brendan's will, not God's will. Now, beloved, praying selfishly is a sure way to cripple our prayers. Now, it is to be the desire of our hearts, the motivating factor within our prayers, that just as God's will is done perfectly every way in heaven, so it would be done on this earth. Self-will praying is pointless. God's will praying is powerful. Now, our concern in prayer ought to be that the will of God be done. If we pray with this attitude, then, beloved, our prayers will be effective and powerful. We must lay aside selfish motives, for they cripple prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. The sixth pitfall, the last pitfall, is a lack of confidence. Do we truly believe that God can answer our prayer? That is the question. I wonder how often we pray without the confidence that we ought to pray with. I wonder how often our faith is lacking. I wonder how many prayers are not answered because we doubt that God is capable of answering them. Faithlessness equals powerless prayer. Now, when we pray, we must believe that our God can answer it. We must pray in faith. Prayer without faith is powerless and almost pointless. Now, let me give some scripture that teaches the necessity to pray in faith. Matthew 21:21-22 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. 1 John 5:14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Hebrews 11:6 But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James 1:6 But let him ask in faith. All of the above scriptures teach the same truth. Prayer and faith belong together. And when we pray, we must be utterly confident that God can answer. This should be our unshakable conviction that our God can and our God will answer our prayers according to His glory and His plan. Do you possess that unshakable confidence, beloved? Do you truly believe that God can and does answer prayer? How often our prayers are powerless because we lack faith. Now, when we pray through this list on Wednesday night for those who are unsaved, do you truly believe that God can save them? That the Holy Spirit can do His work in them? Do you have that confidence that this can actually happen? Now, what about when we pray for those who are sick? Particularly those who have been sick for such a long time, do we truly believe that God can either heal them or sustain them and help them through this sickness? Do we believe that? What about when we pray for someone for a job, for employment? Do we believe that God can provide that? Can we honestly say from our hearts that when we pray for growth of Lismore Bible Church, that we have confidence that God will answer? Now, I wonder how many of our prayers are hindered because we lack confidence. And my friend, we shouldn't. We shouldn't lack confidence. We serve the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient God who has promised He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. But beloved, how often when we pray, our hearts are filled with a lack of confidence in God's ability to answer our prayers. We pray just mere words lacking conviction and belief. And perhaps this is the greatest reason as to why our prayers are often ineffective and lacking power. If we wish to pray powerfully, we must pray in faith. Having a steadfast confidence that God can and will answer our prayers according to His will. Do you, my friend, possess that confidence when you pray? For that is the key to opening the power of prayer. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. We should pray about everything. But how often it is neglected. I wonder how often our prayer lives are lacking the power that they could possess because of the pitfalls laid out this evening. I wonder how often you simply fail to pray. Or we fail to consider the true magnificence of prayer. Or our praying has turned into mere repetition. Perhaps when you pray, it's simply a shopping list. Maybe your time of prayer reeks of selfishness with little concern for God's will. Or perhaps we just lack the faith that God can answer our prayers. If we are all honest with ourselves this evening, all of our prayer lives could do with some renovations, with some changes, with some additions, with some subtractions, but will you do it? You know, will you ask Jesus, teach me to pray? May we as a church and as individuals be powerful and effective men and women of prayer. Amen.